Hey, what's up, y'all? How's it going? How you doing? CJ here, and this is the sound of Black and Brown. Well, I know we've been a little bit inconsistent lately, but please know, we're out here, we're on the grind, we're trying to get things up, moving, popping, and happening. There's a lot happening right now in society. But there's some things that just, despite the efforts, won't change, right? And that is the treatment of black women is one of those things. I don't know what it is. I don't know why society, American society, just can't seem to want to uplift and, empower black women. It's a problem. It's problematic, right? And I've seen this over the years, and it's really, really, really terrible right now. The recent loss of Dr. Antoinette Candia Bailey is one that should be, shaking you to your core. Why? Because there should not be black women in academia, in leadership, who do not feel supported. Okay? Plain and simple. We work hard. We really do. Well, let me dial it back. Let me dial it back. Let me dial it back. 'Cause I know somebody's sitting on somewhere, right, telling themselves, well, what's she talking about? Why is she saying that? You are not the black woman on the job. You're not the one who has to deal with it from the minute you wake up and clock in, sign in, show up, however that works, to the minute you leave. That's not you. It's a funny thing because we don't talk about it. We talk about police brutality, but do we talk about the workplace brutality? Because burnout is real, exhaustion is real, feeling like a slave is real. Oh my God. And I have to say, as a black immigrant woman from the West Indies, I don't know what to tell you all. I mean, folks think that it's not happening. I don't know if it's just we choose to ignore it. But I can tell you, myself included, many of us have some stories that are really sad by how we are treated, spoken to, assessed, right? We're constantly judged. We never seem to hit that note, right? The standards for our performance. It's not one that we could actually predict because it's always changing. It's always changing, right? And who would like to dispute me? Feel free to do so. It's a free country, and I heard that some of us even have freedom of speech, right? But the fact remains, black women carry this invisible burden that doesn't seem to bother anyone, that doesn't seem to make anyone say, hey, we might want to think about how we do this because these are very important, critical members of society, right? And, it's hard not to get upset when thinking about this, when talking about this, because as someone with lived experience who migrated here, who came here thinking she would actually have an opportunity, and honestly, if I were to share some of my stories, you'd be like, nah, come on. Yes, no, for real. That did happen. And over the last few weeks, Black and Brown United in Action has had a significant number of black women, black and brown women, reach out for some sort of, link to getting resources, help, something. Right? Something. Because nobody hears our cries. We are deemed as having to be self-sufficient. We should know how to do things. We do not require support, apparently. We do not require any type of encouragement. It's hard for people to give us critique without a compliment. I mean, that sounds as bad as it is. Think about that for a second. How many performance evaluations of black women have you heard where there's no critique involved? And why do we feel that a performance evaluation has to include some sort of jab. Why? When are we going to realize what we're doing to ourselves? You know, it never ceases to amaze me to see people talk out of two sides of their mouth. What do I mean by that? I mean that I have had the experience, amongst others, of seeing people stand there and misrepresent causes because they feel passionately about something. But do they actually relate to it is a different story. And you know, one of the lesser discussed aspects of slavery is the amount of self-harm up to and including suicide that happened. I spoke on this before. Now, I started off by saying that we've been a little inconsistent with our recording because we've been on the ground. We've been out here trying to get some laws passed, trying to provide support. Folks were in that time. Right, we spoke about this a lot last year. We try to warn you all, you know, as an individual who grew up in a country that looks like a Timberland boot, and you know, as a child, grew up watching the impact of an attempted overthrow of government, the recession, the cost of living, the poverty, all of that on a grandest scale than you could ever see here, right? And then to follow that with studying economics and other topics that people are surprised to know that I actually know, you know, believe it or not, right? And to find the studies and read the work on the socioeconomic impact of poverty, right? The correlation between the two, because there is, right? And not only that, but add to that the mental health impact. See, we seem to think poverty in the black and brown community is like a rite of passage because you're so used to seeing it, you see. You're so used to seeing black and brown people saying they do not have. But yet, few of us seem to be concerned about how to get us there. And believe it or not, this might shock some people, there's such a thing as working poor black and brown people. Believe it or not all of us are just sitting around. You know, not to say people do this intentionally, by the way, but people do work. There's a lot of people right now who got, you know, their work displaced due to COVID or COVID-related reasons. For example, their home health care centers that had to close, they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford it. They didn't get grant funding or something or something. Or how about the fact that utility bills never change? We never seem to see these things as barriers to, you know, sustainability and development. Pare that down to the working mother who's trying to work the two jobs, or even the single working female, right? Or woman, someone who identifies as, right? They're just trying to hold it together. They have the little Uber job here, the little healthcare job there, you know, they go and they provide some living aid and so, and they're trying. But there's, you know, limited support for that. What box do we check? You know, there seems to be this impression, right, that the working black and brown group does not exist when by far it's one of the largest groups that gets very little attention, particularly the working mothers, right? Where do they go? How are they supposed to live, right? Now, let me tell you what does happen, and this happens especially, particularly in academia and in healthcare. Now, not to say the discrimination towards women in the field doesn't happen elsewhere, but it's particularly predominant in those two roles because, you know, for whatever reason that may be, I could give you a lot, but y'all don't want to hear that because when I say how I feel, you know, how I really, really feel about that, folks look at me like, well, no, you're not the one living it, right? Because you see, the irony with those two fields, right? Let me just put you all onto something. As community-based as academia and education are supposed to be, and healthcare is supposed to be, meaning this is public facing, you know, public serving, you know, aspects of life, parts of, you know, our functionality. Unfortunately, unfortunately, because in America, it's more about the Benjamins, it's more about, Ownership. We have to own. That's a tale as old as slavery. Follow me, people. Think about that for a second. Hold that thought. What's America's fascination with ownership? Where did it start and who started it? Right? And why did we allow education and healthcare to become profit-driven? I wonder why. I wonder why. Think about that for a second. Right? Now, let's go back to that. Let's look at the roles and, let's just think broadly. When you think about academia and healthcare, how many black and brown women do you think of? See, I have some names I could share, but my question is to you. At the forefront of that, who do you think of? And why is it took you a second to differentiate between black and brown versus those who got nationally and internationally recognized for their work in healthcare and academia in the United States? So y'all create the problem and then tell us y'all could solve it too. That's what we're doing? Because that's how it looked to me. But who am I but a working poor immigrant, right? Y'all think we like seeing that? Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. For those who still lost in the sauce, and if you're ear sensitive, you might want to turn off now because I didn't come here to tell you what you wanted to hear. I came here to express what is felt in community with the hope in a time like now, some of us could unlearn bad ways and learn and relearn good ways. Because believe it or not, there is a way to address these problems. And believe it or not, it does not always require you marching, right? Not saying there's anything against civil disobedience. But if you have health issues, or if you have the kind of situation where you cannot afford to get arrested, let's be real because that does apply to a lot of people now. I'm going to say it out loud. That's why I don't pressure people because I don't know your living situation. I don't know if you have something happening in your life. You might be going for a job interview and you can't risk to get arrested because you really want to get that job or you want to get into a particular situation, right? That's not my place to judge. The point I'm trying to make is think about that. Think about that. Let that marinate. Right? So what do we do? What do we do? It's hard to stay on track with this type of topic, with the treatment of especially the black women in academia and healthcare. Because people seem to think that it's one that's not solvable. Because you see, we really don't want to solve it, do we? Do we? Do we want to solve it? Because I'll tell you what I see, right? I see in both of these, particular fields. Are there black and brown women who are hired? Yes. Are they empowered? It depends on who you ask, right? Because I don't know what newspaper or what vlog or what website you're looking at. But over the last 6 months, consistently, black women have been featured, right, in the news for whatever it is they're not doing at the school or whatever healthcare facility, they're under attack. They're under attack. And one of those cases led to someone taking her life because somebody decided when black women show up on the job, it's okay to treat us like crap. Your culture is built on slavery, white people. You. And when you can't control it, you own it. That sounded weird, right? What does she mean? How can you control it without owning it? Well, you see, in modern times, you all don't like to use those words. So what you do is you come with your subliminal racism, Karens, right? Because there's quite a few. And they're out there and they're in places of power and privilege. Let's be real. And the Karens, male, female, however they identify, let me tell you something. Karens have more versions than Barbie. Trust that. Right? And they sit in high spaces. They sit in commissions, boards. They take up space. They take up a lot of space. And they make a lot of decisions that, quite frankly, don't go beyond you. If it even got to you, to be frank. Let's be real, because they really only think about themselves, how their job looks, how their situation is affected. Your questions don't matter. Like I said, there are ways that even the person who doesn't like to do civil disobedience could address this thing. The question is, are you ready to do it? Are you ready, leader, to have that conversation with your peer who is nasty to the black and brown employees? Are you ready to address those people or person who seems to be okay with talking down to your staff or their own staff in person, in email, all of it? Because it happens. But how much are you going to allow? And how far is too far? Because here's a dichotomy here. When the black employee becomes frustrated enough, right, and she decides to take action, she again has to prove her case, right? She has to show, yes, this was upsetting. And if you think about the case of Dr. Antoinette Candia Bailey, I mean, come on, America. Come on, America. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? The woman said she was stressed out. You all nitpicking at her. That's another thing. You all fell for the whip. What do you think a performance evaluation is? It's a whip. I'm telling you, that's a whip. Don't let these people fool you. Listen, I'm all about professionalism, productivity. Don't get me confused. You see, people get me confused, but you don't know my culture. Had you had respect enough to learn my culture and not do what, you know, is normalized and judge me upon sight, you would know that I come from a culture where we value the work and the individual, which includes being respectful and kind. You don't have to talk down to your staff. You don't have to give them a bad review. I didn't even know those things existed until I migrated here 20-odd years ago. And that's a true statement. I came from a society, it's not to say we don't have workers who aren't as productive or we don't have workplace issues, but the point that I'm trying to make here, we get them results without attacking. America can't do that. It is as American as apple pie to attack and bring, drag, just, you know, pull down the black woman. We love it. We get popcorn, you know, and we watch. Let me show you another example because even our own do it to us, the black woman. Imagine this weekend. I actually had to like ignore my phone, you know why? For a little bit. Because I was watching some comments on social media regarding this recent situation with Diddy, right? Here's another example right in our faces of how black women are treated in this place, right? Now here's this black man who rubbing shoulders with the top dogs, because that's another thing that happened. Some of us climb up the ladder and use others to reach there, right? We jump on people's shoulder, we do what we need to do, we get up top, and we forget how we got there. And then when we look down with disdain. How, look at you, maggot. Look at you, you're all the way down there. I'm all the way up here, right? And in my opinion, as a music lover, you know, I was a big fan of Biggie and Pac. I'm back with that. Like, quite frankly, after they were some of the people who passed, and I said, I can't listen to this no more. This is not making sense to me anymore. I can't relate to it. I do listen to a couple modern people, but not as much as others, I guess. The point I'm trying to make is, how come nobody ever asked the question of all the other producers who were out at the time? Think about that. So we have Dr. Dre, we have Puffy. We'll just use them two for, oh, Master P. Let's put Master P in there. Right? One, two, three. How come if you were to go back, Google, you know, Bad Boy, Google, you know, the other teams, Google their music, even Lil Wayne and that crew, right? Google the music. Google them, the brand, and see who face you see first. One of the things I could tell you, hands down, you Google Bad Boy, you're gonna see like a gazillion things of Puffy. Why is that? The man changing his name here, there, and everywhere. Man, what the hell you take this for? What do you take this for? Like, what really going on with you? But nobody asked the question. Nobody seemed to care when he was making videos with people, right, after Biggie passed, like if nothing happened. Yeah, he made the little, I'll be missing you something, but somehow, in my opinion, it was lacking. Like his, reaction after, Biggie's pass, something wasn't there. And he wasn't the only one. Peep Jay-Z. Everybody want to give Jay-Z all this credit, but Jay-Z, would you have been as known as you are now if Big was still here? Real talk. My answer is no. My answer is no, and you knew that. You knew that, right? You knew that. And guys, what I'm trying to say, is you have to understand we're in a time right now in life, right? Please consider the fact that, we really didn't give much thought, if any, into the re-entry into society, and I'm using that word on purpose, right? Because we were in solitary confinement during COVID, but nobody said, pause for a cause. Let's think about ways we could re-enter society collectively and safely. Personally, due to my vision, right, and my mental wellness, I made a conscious decision and I don't care who laughs and who critiques. I travel the way I feel comfortable, and I'll tell you why. Because, in my opinion, since we reopened community, you could tell something's wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. You could tell when you're going to stores, you could tell when you're seeing people driving, the kinds of accidents that are happening. You're driving on a 95, there's no slow lane anymore. It's gone. It's all gone. Right, because everybody wants to speed here, there, everywhere. Right, that being said, other things too are mannerisms. Right, we got very passive aggressive and we're not paying attention to that. Let me go back to healthcare and academia. Y'all who work in healthcare and academia, don't let these people, these gringos, fool you. Don't let them fool you. You see, the day when you decide not to be on their level of foolishness. That is the day they don't want to see. Trust me when I tell you that. So all y'all who think it cute that you have to nitpick, that you have to police your employees, that you have to, kick them when they're down, man. Why not? Right? Set that expectation up in the roof and call it, I just want to see the best from you. You're only fooling yourself, You're only fooling yourself. That's the modern whip. Let me tell you that. I went into Walmart, a couple of Walmarts actually, different ones across the state, on purpose, to just chit chat with the employees, particularly the black and brown ones. And let me tell you, the stuff I heard, you know what I mean? Like I had one employee tell me straight up, she said, listen, I'm not the most educated person in the whole world, but one of the things I always loved about my job at Walmart is meeting the people, not my coworkers. But the people who come to shop and helping them find what they need, right? And she explained that with the online shopping and with the AI and all the technology, the ways they're trying to remove the human interaction, it made her job harder, right? It made her job harder. Like she's had to deal with people yelling at her because the self cash out system not working, those kinds of things, right? And nobody thought about that. Nobody's thinking about how these things affect our black and brown people at all. Nobody cares about all these, healthcare facilities, right? They're so busy trying to, quote, serve the community. They don't care who they overwork and burn out. We have doctors who feel they're better than everybody and talking down to people straight up. Yeah, man. I had one doctor, I was on a meeting. this was supposed to be about healthcare reform, right? And the way this guy coming at me, you would swear I don't know how to read and write because that's how they used to talking to people like that. They used to. Power, place, and privilege. I could talk to you how I want. And all I have to say is, I'm a doctor. I have a DR. And it's sad because we have providers who are not white and they deal with the same obstacles, but then they do it too. So how you know that this is racist, but you're doing it to your staff, fam? You don't have to. Trust you don't have to flip the script. I believe in you all. You understand? Because I know we all stressed out. Okay? This weekend alone, right? I have heard feedback from people, black women in particular, in healthcare and in academia, and how they're being spoken to, right? And that, most of them giving up on their jobs. They had dreams of doing XYZ, but they don't see that path to prosperity anymore. Because you see, the new whip is the nitpicking and the policing and all of this that we claim is for productivity. So let me ask you a question. If you found or you think, right, performance evaluations is helpful to your productivity, then you had to be okay with slavery, and I'll tell you why. You think when Columbus and his friends went to punish slaves, right? You think he would ask them, raise your hand if you want to get slapped around? Hey, you want to get slapped around? Come here. Do you think that's how it went? Because I beg to tell you, I'll beg to differ, sorry, and say that no. Were there times when they just randomly selected people? Yeah, that's an intimidation tactic. But by and large, why do you think they felt it made more sense to hire people to supervise and punish in front of everybody? That was a performance evaluation. If you don't do this, we're going to slap you around in front of everybody. Right? And what can you do about it besides cry? Nothing. Not one thing. Right? And, in modern times, we have confused performance and performance expectations. We did. We don't need to talk to each other like that. You could give somebody feedback and you could actually find out why they was having problems doing something if you put aside the passive aggressiveness. I'm worried about education and healthcare. I'm really worried. And I'm gonna tell you something, don't be surprised if you see black employees walking off, especially women. They're tired. How you think you would feel if you sit in somewhere providing direct service for community, you out here doing a job that you're proud of, that you're happy to be part of, but yet you and the person across from the table who you're supposed to be helping making the same amount of money, right? You're making the same amount of money, and both of y'all have to go to the same grocery stores and choose from the same set of stuff. What's the problem with that picture? I don't know if you knew this, but it is very expensive to be poor in Connecticut. And it is not helpful when you are a young black student, right, with a lot of dreams and hopes. But you could see you could only go so far because of how you're seeing people treated and being spoken to. Or you realize, wait a minute, if I code switch, I could make it. That will only get you so far, Let me tell you right now, code switching. Playing their game, some people will say. And let me tell you this, if you are a black female professional in those fields and you feel playing their game helps you, it doesn't. It doesn't, because you become just like the same thing you say you detest. You just became that. Is that what Angela Davis told you all to do? Is that what Audre Lorde told you all to do? Is that what Harriet told you all to do? No, not at all. Let's be real here, people. Let's be honest with ourselves. We are in a different time of history, and I strongly believe that is a big part of the unspoken problem. Many of us want to pretend like we didn't have to deal with lockdown. Now you have a taste of what it feels like to be in confinement. So we should all be demanding jails that actually look habitable, but that's a whole other episode. The point I'm trying to make here. It is very sad that Dr. Candia Bailey, unfortunately, right, got to the point of taking her life. Do you understand what led her there? Do you really understand? I tell you, I could only talk on my experience, but I'll share some of what was shared with me. Over the last few weeks, I've had a queer leader, right, a queer manager who works in healthcare, share with me that in the midst of them presenting something, not that they was looking for the feedback, they didn't even get to the part with the feedback yet. And the Karen manager, that's not literally their name, they're just a white woman acting like a Karen was in the room. It's a small meeting. And who tell you she didn't hold back on her Karenism? Don't you know somebody with Karens pretend to be liberal and progressive when they're really just about themselves and their accolades? And so what would happen is, while this individual, the queer person, the queer black manager, tried their best to finish their presentation, right? It went nowhere because this Karen decided that they had to talk through the whole thing. And it ended up going in a very racist, I can't say too much more than that, because the whole thing ended up getting tense. And some words were said by the Karen involved. Now, here's the funny part, right? Let me tell all this something. The fact of the matter is, what I just described is a scenario. What I loosely describe is a scenario that plays out more often than we like to see in education and in healthcare, right? Many of us black women work with Karens. You have at least one Karen on the job. There's no way you work in either of those fields unless you work in a small business that I didn't hear of. Well, a small business, sorry, or a business I didn't hear of. But the majority of those spaces, for whatever reason, there's a Karen. Now, it's not the fact that the Karen exists, you know, it's the fact that the Karen feels comfortable. Comfortable enough that they will get support from the company before you get your support. And you see, what I started saying is when black women decide they're fed up of being treated like that by a Karen, and we get up and we stand up and we say something now, we become the enemy. How dare you? The nerve of you. How dare you? How could you even say anything? Are you ungrateful? You itch? That's how it comes across. Ask any black woman in academia or healthcare who dealt in a situation that was highly toxic. Because really, Karenism is like the epitome of, you know, white supremacy and white toxicity. The question is, why do so many of our black and brown professionals allow it to happen? And who the hell told you you didn't have a voice? Well, let me tell you something. You was today's years old. You was today's years old. If you are in leadership, in healthcare or education, and you're black or brown, please know you have a legion of employees in the community who need you to get up and stand up. You understand? You have the positioning to make that difference. Challenge those workplace behaviors, right? Come on, the man. Some of these performance evaluations are ridiculous. Not going to go into detail, but in my career, I actually watched how that plays out. Because I'm going to tell you, in academia and in healthcare, when they want to get rid of you, the Karen's very creative, you know. Yes, indeed. They will set you up like it's nobody's business, and it's always something performance related to make you feel like a fool. And nobody seems to give a crap about how that makes us feel at all. Then we have to go file for unemployment. That's our next thing, because you're getting judged from the minute you press that button to call. Believe that. Then you go into interviews, and the employer's watching you up and down because they say, oh, wow, you seem to have switched jobs. You see what I'm saying? It's a constant, those two particular areas, fields, it's like a nonstop hamster wheel of intimidation. Hence the reason I likened it to slavery. When you sit there and you feel like I have to tell this person something negative, I am here to tell you today, no, you don't. No, you don't. You really genuinely don't. You don't need to pick them apart and make them feel guilty all the time. You don't need to. You choose to. There's a choice, right? I could give you feedback on your work and I don't have to make you feel stupid. I could ask you questions and say, hey, you know what? Did you ever think about like maybe doing this? Let me see how it looks if we do that. Or if something is late, say, hey, what can I do to help you? Like, was there something that happened? Nobody said that you have to entertain an environment where people slack off. I didn't say that, you know. But I need you all to understand and empathize with the times that we're in, my people. Seriously. For real, for real. When you go to the store next time, Ask yourself, how are people living? Look at what is being left on the shelves versus what is being purchased, and what is that telling you, right? Look at your employees. I remember there are a couple employees within my area, a couple of folks I got to know along, my years of residing where I do and shopping where I do. And recently I'll just go in and tell them hi. I always try to be pleasant to them. I know I have my off days too, but we need to understand being pleasant to somebody else. You might be the only person in the 8 hours they're standing up on their bad ankles that has been nice to them. And you would be surprised to know how an insertion of positivity could change your entire workforce. You do not have to throw your employees under the bus. Don't let these gringos fool you. Don't let these crackers fool you. That's what they know to do. And let me tell you something, it's only the white people who just do that will get offended by what I just say. Straight. You understand me? Karens love to deflect when they're wrong. They love to do it. Let me show you a parallel. You see what I just tell you there about the queer manager presenting to the Karen? Right? Now, in that story, the Karen only had to go and talk to HR and say she's sorry to them. She never apologized to the individual. Never did that, but instead decided I don't need to do that. Nobody held the Karen accountable. Nobody said, let's have a meeting where you formally apologize to the person you just made subliminally racist comments to. You see, because you see, unfortunately, we have normalized the Karenism by turning the other way when the passive aggressiveness happen. You see, now see when a black woman now come and hit you with how she feel, now she's the angry black woman. You see that? You understand? Because I promise you, if I was to talk to some of these people the way they're talking to me, I mean, I know I'm not well liked. Let's just say it'll be even worse than that. They just can't handle the taste of their own medicine, you know. But they love to dish it. They don't like to receive it. And when they do it, they validate it and say, well, I was only caring about the project. You blasted lie. You lie. You're comfortable and you like to feel in charge, and your ego is the size of a mustard seed. So the only way you could feel big is by making me feel small. Go sit somewhere. Real talk. And I am telling you all, the more you all ignore what is happening in this workforce, if you think it's hard retaining staff and keeping business flowing now, right? It is about to get worse because people tired. And I don't know how else to tell all of that, right? I genuinely don't know. All I could do is share the information, right? If you decide to get offended and sit on and justify your buffoonery, that is on between you and whichever faith leader or whatever you believe in. That's none of my damn business, because enough is enough. America has made a stance in this rule by being passive aggressive. It is a cultural thing. And I could tell you this as somebody who came from a poor country and had her share of people who, tourists, both black, white, in between, who visited. And I watch how they act. They come to our country and they're shocked by hearing simple people. Some of them don't even have shoes on. I remember once I was at my uncle's house and he have a parlor. That's a little shop. Or let us say corner store up here. And a tourist just happened to bump up and come to it. And the man was so surprised that even though my uncle was standing there barefoot, because that's how we used to roll. We ain't studying that. You're running around on the concrete. You understand? The American was shocked and started crying, all kind of thing. Like, what the hell wrong with you? This is how we live. But you know what broke him? The fact that seeing my uncle like that, and my uncle still say, good morning, how can I help you? What you need? You see that? In this country, the biggest whip they use to oppress black people and brown people is passive aggressive behavior. It is a justified means of maintaining control. The police do it, right? The armed forces do it, right? Teachers do it, okay? Right? They validate their response to you based on how they see you. No, they ain't gonna say that part. but they're going to talk to you like that. And then if you contest it, and feel free to fact check me, go ask any mother who lives in Connecticut, New Haven, Connecticut in particular, black mother, what's it like going to a PTO meeting, especially the ones at Hill House, right? Hill House, Wilbur Cross, come on, we're looking at you, right? Tell everybody what it's like when the black mother show up in school about their child. Tell them how you just talk to them and why. But let the person who child coming from Guildford and our taxes paying to bring in and out of the city, AP classes, all of that. My question is, when is enough enough? How many more Dr. Candia Baileys we have before we decide enough is enough, right? And you see, the ones out there who like to judge people by the path that they live, I have a low tolerance for that, a very low tolerance. And by that I mean I'm talking to the people who quick to judge the people who recovered their life, went from being incarcerated, and worked their way into being in another field and dream. They work hard to be there, right? They work real hard. And we know people judging them. They know that too, okay? So like I'm saying, you all want to change history, there's small ways to do that. Change your language in your workplace. You see a Karen, address the friggin' Karen, man. Stop letting it happen, okay? You're in the grocery store, you see a Karen because they're coming out, you know. Yes, they're coming out in force. Do not let these Karens get used to talking to your employees like that. Trust me, you will lose good people. It's happening already, right? And not only that, that is such a hypocritical message for those fields. We're talking about self-care and healing, and we're talking about, healthcare access and people taking care of themselves. So shouldn't that start on the job too? Shouldn't we have that type of philosophy there as well? I get we want to provide for everybody. I get the stress of a budget. Don't get me wrong. But I also understand what PTSD, burnout, anxiety, and depression is. And when you sit there and you overwork police your staff, talk to them like crap, nitpick at them, you know, all of them things that the Karens love to do, right? And, oh, let me not forget this one. You see me? I don't know if all you know this, all it was today's years old. When all you find out, Karens don't like me much, you know. I don't know what it is. I think it's the way I just shape my eyebrows. That's what I feel it is. For real, for real. I was really thinking about that for like 2 minutes the other day. Anyways, and I will tell you why. Because you see, I'm not the kind of person who clout chaser. I just want to see stuff get done. I have my own expectations of how something should go. But I also respect humanity, right? I've had people insult me to my face and I still talk to them like a human being, okay? Because you see, that's what these Karens do. They try to get in your head. And when you let them sit in your head, then you start reacting on the job and in your life in ways you never expect. Stress is a hell of a thing, you know. That's the bottom line. And I don't know if you all want to tell the Karens this, but we've been stressed out since you all put us in chains. So don't feel ashamed about how you feel, right? Don't feel ashamed if, you know, you can't handle the passive aggressiveness. You're not alone. You need to know that. It is very, very bad, especially in healthcare and academia, education, right? It is bad. And these Karens do not like people like me at all who defend their black leaders. And I'm not the only one. We will take the bullet, you know. Yeah, man. You think you're the first one to judge me? No, sir. I have had Karens watch me straight in my face and ask me if I know how to read and thing. Yeah, man. Because, you see, they like to hit you below the belt, eh? That is how Columbus got us the first time, you see. That's what they know to do. So even when you're doing well, they have to remind you who in charge. And they take no shame because, especially in these fields, they turn around and they say foolishness like, well, I care so much about my job, you know. This is why I ask for what I ask. I want us to maintain, cut your crap. I want to say something to my black leaders in those fields. I want you to know something. I want you to hear it from somebody like me, who probably in the bigger scheme of things don't mean much. But for the black leaders, especially the black women, especially the black women who do not see the need to nitpick at their staff, who smile with their staff and their employees and who they work with, who just say, "Hey, you okay?" Who won't give you a diagnosis just because you're looking a little stressed out? Because that's the next thing, with those fields. But that's the next episode, because I will laugh too hard. It always make me laugh. But to the black women in leadership who humble, right, who support and empower their staff, who had their staff back, who just jump in and say to them Karens, "Hey, whoa, 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 not today, Satan, not today." Who does provide the support, encouragement? Who does see the need to nitpick? I'm talking to you, the black leaders like you, those ladies, those queens. The ones who say, "Nah, performance evaluation, I will focus on the great things, and you and I will figure out where you're not so good." And we could do that and say that in friendly ways. We don't need to make our staff feel like they're being whipped in front of everybody. You don't have to do it. Because you see, when you do that, guess who hand you're playing into? Let me tell you this, sir. You see the queens who doing that, what I just say? Thank you. I appreciate you on behalf of all the staff you didn't see. Right? You have no idea how much you mean. Real talk. Because it's hard out here with these Karens, and it's hard when you feel like, nobody's seen it and nobody cares. I love to hear, really and truly, I love it when I hear and see black people working together, and I see black people supporting each other. And part of that is to chant dong, nullify the Karenism. There's ways you could do your work, be productive, meet them deadlines, get everything done. All the financials, all the missing, moving, all of those parts, whatever words I didn't just use there properly, right? Let me say that again. Every time I talk about this, I just get a headache because I don't understand how people can't see this. Like, it really baffles me, man. It truly, truly baffles me, right? And it's crazy because I was thinking about my dissertation. And, I'll be frank, I don't think I'll ever finish. I don't have it. I don't want to, I don't know. I don't have the capacity. But the point I'm trying to draw by that is my dissertation was focused just on this, could you tell? Because I believe that we could actually have great black and brown leaders and workforces and agencies. I believe the representation is important. I genuinely believe that. I believe it is equally important that we support and protect our black leaders who support and protect us in the right way, not the white way. Don't sell me down the river and ask me how I reached there. That ain't funny. I'm talking about the leaders who are not afraid to stand up. They're not the ones who give you the vague instructions and have the high expectations. I'm talking about the ones who seen you struggling a little bit but loving you through it and don't expect perfection. Because I'm telling all you right now, whoever expecting perfection on the workforce right now, please let me know where you gonna find that. Seriously, especially now. People need to remember that. All you're sitting here setting terms and conditions on people that unreal, man. And if you think that all that I just said is unreasonable, far-fetched, ridiculous, unfounded, I invite you again, go and do your research on Dr. Antoinette Candia Bailey. Her story is not the only one. My question is, how many more? When is too many too much? How many black women have to get pushed out to leadership before they get fed up? How many times black women have to fall before they say, "Let's stop pushing them down"? Come on, now, man. Come on. You can't keep labeling, stigmatizing, criminalizing. Don't you see what you're doing when you do that? The police and the nitpicking. Oh, well, I just gave the critique because I want them to do well. All you're stinking. Don't, you know what? Like I say, I try to restrain myself. But I'm also quite conscious that people are tired. And I'm just saying, don't be surprised when you see people walking off on these jobs. People could barely afford to buy milk and pay their rent. Nobody cared about the utilities. And now that's one of the bills that are causing companies to have to shut down, right? Where do those displaced workers go? You only have so many jobs for so many people, right? So we had to chant down the Karenism if we expect to save our communities, more so our workforces, and more so to pave the way for the future. This is no joke. Now is the time. Now is the time, right? Now is the time. Protect the leaders who are actually out there doing the work and protecting you back. Me ain't gonna lie, not everybody doing that, right? But when you find one who doing it, do what you can to support them. Don't give them Karens no power, man. Take it back. You do not have to act that way just because you are in a certain role. That's foolishness. That is just looking for an excuse to be racist and passive aggressive and toxic, right? Think about that the next time you see them exhibiting certain behaviors and mannerisms. Because I'm going to tell you something, going back to the story, the example of the queer leader giving the presentation who never get to even finish, the black queer leader, and the Karen decide they know everything. They always a subject matter expert, you know, right? They always a subject matter. Always for the benefit of the agency. Nobody asked you that. There's a whole time after the presentation for you to give feedback, but you such a Karen. You like one of them upper level Karens. You couldn't even wait. You had to say something right now. Because that's how they are. They're narcissists. They are narcissists, sorry. They don't care about nobody. They only care about them and how they look and how people see them. So if you are a black or brown leader and you know or see that happening around you and you good with it, today's the day you find out you're part of the problem. The question is what you're going to do about it. All right, I'll let all you marinate on that. Before we tune out for today, let us take a few moments of silence, not only for our friends in Gaza, but to lift up the names of our friends in Sudan, Congo, Haiti, the United States, Trinidad Tobago, Jamaica, across the world, India, Pakistan, who facing poverty, oppression, whose circumstances are what they are because we rather fuel war than feed the poor. Oh Allah, you see us, you know us, you are with us. Remind us when we forget. Give us strength when we feel weak. Shine a light when we lose hope. Remind us we are able. Remind us who you are. Stand in front of our enemies and remind them of who you are. Give us the answers when we are confused. Give us the safety when we are looking for shelter. Help us be kind to others, starting with ourselves. Remind us we matter. Amen. My friends, we cannot thank you all enough for your continued support and encouragement. It really does mean a lot. The attack is real. I could go on for days. I can give you examples and tell the stories, but I need you to help us. Help us move the movement. Minimize the impact of these Karens. All right? It all plays together. Trump has a whole legion of Karens supporting him, And just because it's happening where it's happening doesn't mean it's not happening. Like I said, there are more brands of Karens than Barbies. They sit in various spaces. You just have to peep the signs and shut it down. More importantly, if nobody reminded you, I just want to tell you, you're amazing, you matter, and you bring value, and you are part of the change you want to see. We cannot thank you enough for your continued support and encouragement. You all truly, truly mean a lot to us. That's all for now. Fist up, smile on, peace, CJ.